Greatest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Last night's show was fun. Titled on the web, How to Kill a Country. We talked all about foreign aid and how well-meaning but misguided compassion destroys people and nations and continents. And boy, it struck a chord out there. We had a good time with calls from all over the country. So any follow-ups on that topic will be fine. But I want to ask you if you've heard the report that Israel has, they have relayed evidence to Europe that the financial aid that Europe is giving collectively to the Palestinian Authority, that money is being used to fund terrorist attacks. So pretty interesting that Israel has given this evidence now to the European Union that the money they give to the Palestinian Authority is being used to fund the attacks. How about the money that America gives? What do you think? You think Yasser Arafat really does some clean bookkeeping? And he says, okay, we can pay for bombs to kill women and children with this money, but we're going to keep this nice and clean here. And this money over here that America gives us, we won't use that money. But the problem is money is fungible. Money is fungible. It would be like saying, well, we give money to Adolf Hitler, but we tell him only use it to build your water utility infrastructure. Don't use it to build concentration camps or to attack your innocent neighbors. And so Hitler said, okay, we'll only use it for that purpose. It's like giving money to the United Way. United Way is an aggressive supporter of abortion and homosexuality and things anti-Christian. And so when people, longtime contributors to the United Way, find out this stuff and they call up and they say, oh no, you give money to Planned Parenthood, which, by the way, Planned Parenthood is the enemy. Planned Parenthood is the enemy. Planned Parenthood is the enemy. They get paid to kill kids at Planned Parenthood. That's what they do. Their stock and trade is the blood of children. At any rate, a contributor calls up United Way and says, I just found out you give money to Planned Parenthood. That's not right. They do abortions. And the Planned Parenthood employee says, oh, no problem. Just designate your gift. Just designate it to the YMCA. Oh, but money is fungible. So no matter what the United Way does on paper, the reality is it flows effortlessly from one account to another account. Because if the United Way had a commitment in some town to give the local YMCA $50,000, and you said you designated your money for that so it doesn't go to Planned Parenthood, and you give $100, well, that frees up another $100 that they can give to Planned Parenthood. So money is fungible. I wonder how many public school teachers are tuning in tonight. If there were none, I would explain to some of their students what fungible means. But since there are some public school teachers tuning in right now, I'm not going to explain what that word means. They'll have to look it up themselves. All right, our phone number, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. So the European Union, the group that we call the United Nations, that's the UN. So we have the UN and the EU. The EU has provided more than $70 million to the Palestinian Authority to pay salaries of members of the more than 100,000 Palestinian civil servants. That's a lot. You know, when you have everybody working for the government, that means you have a very bad economy and you're all poor. And that's what the EU is subsidizing over there in the PA, the PA, the Palestinian Authority. So the EU financial aid has been earmarked for paying the salaries of Palestinian police officers, but it turns out that these police officers are involved. For one, about 20% of the money that's supposed to go to pay these certain salaries is diverted and pocketed by the Palestinian Authority. And the police officers in the West Bank and Gaza, they supposedly earn between $250 and $500 a month. But there's an accounting scam going on, and money is being diverted to terrorist attacks. So, interesting. All right. Now let's go to the phones. Our number, 1-888-8-N-YARD. That's 1-888-836-9278. By the way, a big Islamic charity here in this country, Benevolence International Foundation, was founded by a friend of Osama bin Laden, the president of it. They got photographs of him in Afghanistan holding a weapon. And they're now indicted on perjury. And it's a front for raising money for terrorism. So we'll talk about that too. But first, let's go to Shipshawana, Indiana. Daryl, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. I just wanted to kind of continue with the subject from tonight and last night about how welfare is killing nations.
Yeah.
And last night on Fox News, on Brit Hume's show, he was interviewing a man who was telling about how the the Palestinian refugee camps were formed and how they're run.
Right.
And I hadn't known before that they are completely run with UN funds.
UN funds. Now, the UN and most of the biggest contributors is, well, America.
Sure.
And Western European nations.
Sure.
Surprisingly, Arab nations have paid a very small fraction of the money to keep their own brethren alive in these Palestinian refugee camps.
What he described was that we are not only paying for welfare, but we are paying for the very textbooks that go in the schools that show that Israel doesn't even exist on the map.
Right, exactly. And that our congressmen were treated to a blow-up picture of the map that the Palestinian Authority uses to teach their kids, and they don't have a Palestinian area. They have that Israel does not exist, and it's all under the control of Yasser Arafat and his terrorists. That's their worldview. We'll be right back.
Can a Christian...
Hey, we just stopped that commercial so that I can do a live spot during the show. Now, we usually do live commercials on the web at kgov.com, but we haven't done them on our radio affiliates, and we decided that we'd start doing that because it's fun. And I want to let you guys know about one of the main ways that people learn from this program, Bob and Yart Live, and help to support it. That's through our monthly Bible studies. Now, we do Sunday nights. I pastor Denver Bible Church. So anyone in Denver, of course, can come to the church, and you're more than welcome. It'd be a blast. In fact, we have people from out of state come on a regular basis. This past Sunday, we had a family from Kansas and another family from Alabama. Just it's wonderful all the visitors we get. But if you can't make it to the church, then call us up at 1-888-8-NYART, and you can order the Bible study tapes. And the way we do it, we mail out 4 tapes every month automatically. You sign up with a credit card. Some people send checks, but that's a little more complicated. You sign up with a credit card, and each month we mail you 4 Bible study tapes. And we go through an overview of the whole Bible. We start out there, and then we spend some time on living the Christian life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the legacy of that tree and how it affects you in your life today. And then we start going through the books of the Bible, and it's a lot of fun. So if you'd like to do that, call us. It's $24.95 a month, $25 a month. Call us at 1-888-836-9278. We're back, Bob and Yurt Live. We're going to go back to the phones in Indiana. And when you call in 1-800-8-NYART, you can call that number. And also during the show, usually we have our order line phones available also, 1-888-8-NYART. Same number, different toll-free prefix. So 1-888-8-NYART if you just can't get through. Now, let's go back to Daryl here. So, Daryl, how about the economy in these refugee camps?
Well, the one interesting fact that they were bringing out was that all of the Arab neighbors, the Arab countries that neighbor those refugee camps, do everything they can to prevent any economic progress from happening in those camps.
And not only that, you know, some of the people in Israel were citizens of Jordan. And
right.
Syria,
right.
And Lebanon, and Egypt, and the Gaza Strip. And when these nations attack Israel, and Israel defends itself and takes a little territory, then those nations would not allow their own citizens back into
right.
their country.
Right.
Because they want the Arab world is using the Palestinians as pawns to keep pressure against Israel. And
yeah.
if... Just imagine if there were 1,000 Americans somewhere in the world caught up in some civil war, and they lost their homes, and they were in despicable conditions in some type of a refugee camp. Imagine America saying to them, you're not welcome here back in your home country.
Right.
I mean, it's inconceivable, but Islam is such a broken religion. It's such a destructive and inherently destructive worldview that it destroys the mindset, the morality, a solid social fabric that should undergird a society. The Arab world is broken.
Right.
Yes.
And they have convinced so many people. They have lied to so many people, and so many Americans believe a revised history of what has happened in that nation. When Great Britain controlled that area that's called Palestine after World War II, they divided that area up. They basically had two people groups that were living there. You had Palestinian Arabs and Palestinian Jews. The Palestinian Arabs only Palestinians like they do now.
Right. Well,
it changes the issue.
Yeah, if you go back and they say that the Jews took their homeland. Well, what was the name of their homeland? And who was the leader? And what were the laws? And what was their currency? And what was their constitution?
Well, if you remember Great Britain, when they divided that territory, they divided it into two territories. One very small territory for the Jewish Palestinians, one very large territory for the Arab Palestinians. And that territory is called Jordan.
Yeah, right. And
75% of the people that live in Jordan are Arab Palestinians. That is the Arab Palestinian homeland.
And the point is, before Arafat claims that the Jews stole their homeland.
Right.
Well, who was the leader before Arafat? What was their currency? Did they have an economy? Did they use coins or bills?
Do they now?
What was their constitution? What were their laws? They did not have a nation.
That's absolutely right.
And if you say, well, you got to go back far enough in history, well, you go back far enough in history, and 3,000 years ago, King David established Jerusalem as the capital of his kingdom. 3,000 years ago.
And they're the only nation that did that.
Now, well, no. Actually, King David took Jerusalem from the Jebusites.
Is that right? I thought Jerusalem wasn't established until then.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. No. He took it, and I don't know to what extent he conquered it versus he purchased. Like, he purchased the land on the Temple Mount, if I recall.
Okay.
To offer a sacrifice from a particular Jebusite who, rather wealthy, and he owned that land. But Ornan. But anyway, the Jews, when they went into the area that we call Israel today, there were people living there, and God had said to the Jews to destroy those people because of their intense wickedness and to take the land. And Israel never did that. They let God down, they disobeyed, and instead they mingled with the people. And the entire history of Israel in their own scripture is a history of utter rebellion against God.
Yes, it is.
Utter, from their leaders and their prophets, not all the prophets, there were some good ones, but most of them were bad, and their priests were intensely evil, and generations of wickedness. And you look at King Saul, King Solomon, so many of just the most vile and vulgar history. And what's interesting is even their better leaders were terribly wicked. Like King David, overall, he was a righteous man because he was truly sorry for his sins. But he was an adulterer and a murderer. And he murdered one of the most noble men in all his kingdom.
Right.
So the neat thing about the Jewish scriptures is that they have the flavor of realism.
Right.
People say, well, the Jews wrote the Bible. It's just some book by man. Well, what nation has written its history condemning itself at every turn, and those writings become revered as their holy writings? When did that happen in the ancient world?
Not at all.
No, that was impossible. Look at the kings of Babylon and Assyria and Egypt. They only praised themselves for how great they were, and all their writings document that they were the kings of all the kingdoms of the world, and they were gods, and they were perfect. But Israel, their record of their own leaders and their own history has this flavor of realism. It's not something fallen men, evil men, would write, because evil men would lie about themselves.
That's right.
And they'd say how great they were, but Israel's record, their Bible, shows how evil they were, which tells us that when the Bible claims to be an inspired record of history, it is. Because there's no other explanation that a nation for 1,000 years, for 1,500 years, dozens of men over centuries would continually write how wicked their nation is, and those books would be immediately accepted as and revered as their sacred scripture.
You know, Bob, I just finished listening to your Nicer Than God tapes this morning.
Yeah.
And it really stood out to me about King David and how terrible a parent he was.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was too nice to his son.
He never disciplined his kids.
Right.
The Bible says that when his kids were bad, he didn't discipline them. And he was so nice to his kids, and his kids became murderers of their own family members.
Yes.
Just the most despicable result. And you know, when the father sins, like David became an adulterer, the whole country knew it. He became a murderer, the whole country knew it. There's no way to insulate your children from your own sin. You can't do that. And liberals and atheists, agnostics, they attack Christianity and they say there can't be a God of love because look at all the pain in the world. That's the argument they'll use. But for love to exist, it has to be freely given. Otherwise, it's not love.
Right. There has to be a choice.
Exactly. Love is a choice. Love is a commitment. Love must be freely given or it's not love. It's something else, but it's not love.
That's right.
If it's coerced, if it's like a robot reading words that Bill Gates typed into its memory, that's not love. No matter how you cut it, it's not love. It has to be freely given. So God made us as sentient beings so that we have the choice to love or hate. And we can love or hate God, love or hate ourselves, our wife, our children. And the liberals think, well, if there was a loving God, he would not allow any of the suffering or pain in the world. Well, then he would have to not allow love. He'd have to eliminate love also.
That's right.
And that's the weakness in their understanding of just basic reality. So God told the Jews to kill everyone in the land because of how evil they were. And, you know, again, people who discredit the Bible attempt to. They say, well, look, that can't be a good God to kill all the men, women, and children among the Philistines or the Canaanites or the Jebusites or the Hittites or the Perizzites or the Termites. Just exterminate them. That's not a good God. But if there is a creator, so they say if such a creator existed, he would not be a good God.
Right.
Well, if there is a creator who made human beings to live life in two stages, stage one and stage two, or to live life first on the porch and then you go into the living room, if a creator made his creatures to live life in two stages, then how can anyone say that he doesn't have the authority to bring his creatures from stage one to stage two, from life on earth to life after death? If God made us to live in these two stages, he obviously has the authority to dispatch us into the afterlife.
To do anything he wants.
I don't believe he would do anything immoral or evil or wicked.
Right.
But as the creator, he has the authority to bring us from the front porch into the living room. We might not understand that or get all freaked out about it, but he is the creator, and he could bring us from the porch into the living room. And so if there are Philistine cities filled with men, women, and children, the children are innocent, and God says to Joshua, go in and kill them all. Well, those parents were destroying their own children because of the wicked ways they were raising them. Not only that, they sacrificed their own kids, burn them alive in a fire to their god Baal and Ashtaroth. And so God said, go destroy their entire culture, and those children God takes from the porch into the living room. And then God is the God of all the earth. He'll do rightly. He'll judge rightly whether there were some who were deserving of living forever without God, and if there were some innocent ones or redeemed ones who God wanted to live forever in heaven, God could work that out.
Right.
So if the Jews would have obeyed God, then, you know, the entire history of the world would have been different.
That's for sure.
But they rebelled against God. America's rebelled against God. Everyone's rebelled against God.
Yes, they have.
Hey, Daryl, thank you very much.
Have a good one, Bob.
I really appreciate your call. You know, not every call needs to be an argument, a fight, a battle, but they're fun, too. But it's neat when people who respect God and read his word, when they get together and they chat. You know, we have at our Sunday night Bible studies at Denver Bible Church, where I pastor, we cut it short. We used to go for an hour and a half. You know, the Apostle Paul, he did these Bible studies, and people would fall asleep and fall to the ground and die. They'd fall out of a second-story window and die. Now, that's a Bible study. If there are no casualties, it's not a Bible study. I don't know what you're doing, but if there's no casualties, it's not a Bible study. Anyway, after 5 years, we've cut ours to 45 minutes so that we can interact with one another and share and talk and question and challenge one another. And our ideas accurate. So if you're in Denver, I invite you, come and join us. And if you're outside of Denver, call us 1-888-8-NYART. Goodbye, Denver. Hey, we're back with a live spot. And now this, if you've figured it out how it works, at the bottom of the hour, our radio affiliates are carrying the news from Information Radio Network. And those who listen at kgov.com, they hear this news break because we don't get the news feed from IRN. In the future, we might change that. But actually, I like the time to get to talk to you guys so we can discuss these materials we have. Like Genesis, we, in our Sunday night Bible studies, we went through the entire book of Genesis, and we did it in six volumes. Hey, Genesis is a big book, 50 chapters, and so many people have gone through all the volumes, and praise the Lord that they have. It helps support us, and we've gotten the most wonderful feedback from them. And you could save money if you buy all six albums together. Instead, most of our albums for six tapes, they're $30. And, you know, the more tapes, the higher the price, and the fewer tapes, the lower the price. But you can get all six Genesis albums for $129.95, $130. And they're Genesis Creation, where we talk about origins, evolution, science. Oh, is it fun? And then The Fall. In The Fall, that's really quite an album, because not only do we talk about when did Lucifer fall? When did he fall? Is it possible to know actually when he fell? Not generally, but specifically. And when did Adam and Eve fall? And where was Lucifer when he fell? And why did God put that tree in the garden in the first place? And what does that tree represent? This stuff, it's just a fascinating topic. And God said, you know, after Adam and Eve fell, he said, well, he put angels at the entrance of the Garden of Eden to make sure they didn't go back in to eat from the tree of life. Well, why did God give them the tree of life? What was that for? They were allowed to eat from the tree of life before they fell, before they sinned. Once they sinned, then they could no longer eat from that tree. What was the purpose of that tree? Was there entropy in the world before the fall, before sin? Of course there was. Friction and heat energy and fires burned out. But call us, order this stuff. It's fun. 1-888-8-NYART. We're back, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now, I wanted to let you know about this Benevolence International Foundation. Now, that's the charity. If you recall back months ago, the federal government raided a number of Islamic charities, saying that they appeared to be fronts for raising terrorist funds. And apparently a number of them are. But this one, the Benevolence International Foundation, their executive director, Enam Arnout, he got really angry and he sued the federal government, demanding that their funds be released, apparently a large dollar amount, and also just, you know, he was angry that how dare they accuse him and his organization of any relationship whatsoever to Osama bin Laden or to Al-Qaeda or to terrorists in general. So in the lawsuit has actually helped our government. There's the U.S. attorney in Illinois has announced charges of perjury against this Islamic foundation because apparently the executive director said he didn't know Osama bin Laden, his organization had no relationship to him, And, you know, on March 19th, European agents did a raid on one of their offices in Bosnia, and it turned up, this is the Islamic charity, the Benevolence International Foundation, and they turn up photos of bin Laden in Afghanistan in their office as well as photos of this executive director, this dude that has nothing to do with terrorism, Enam Arnau, photos of him posing in Afghanistan holding several weapons. Typical leader of a charity, right? Not that there's anything wrong with weapons, but when you show up in Afghanistan and bin Laden's backyard, and in the same scrapbook, you got photos of bin Laden and photos of your executive director holding weapons in Afghanistan. And it turns out that Arnau has had a close relationship with bin Laden. He's known him for at least a couple decades. And in fact, he's allowed one of bin Laden's wives to stay in Arnout's apartment in Pakistan. And also, the organization itself was funded. It was started by a wealthy Arab sheikh who was close to bin Laden. So bin Laden's hands very likely were in the charity from the beginning. And so they've been able to use money raised by Islamic charities, basically money launder their own operations and skim money off the top. So let's go to Garrison, Indiana, 1-888-8-NYART. That's 1-888-836-9278. Sarah, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Howdy.
My name's Sarah. I'm from Goshen, Indiana.
Goshen, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I just want to make a comment about Arabs in general and Palestinians, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And about the EU money that goes towards Palestinian terrorist organizations. I don't doubt at all that some of EU's money goes to Palestinian terrorist organizations and that many Arab organizations do fund terrorist acts and support bin Laden and all that evil stuff. But I'd also like to say and remind everybody that Palestinians and Arabs are still people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't all support bin Laden. I lived the past year and a half in Jordan, which is beside Israel.
Mm-hmm.
My father is on a U.S. government project there. And most of the Palestinians there, they were completely offended by the thought that we would consider them all terrorists, wanting to kill Americans, wanting to kill Jews. All they really wish for is peace. And I just want to remind them that they are Jesus's children as well, and that God loves them all.
All right, let's talk about some of these things, Sarah.
All right.
When last night, I don't know if you heard last night's show, but we talked about a survey. There was an Associated Press article that was written in the West Bank
mm-hmm.
by an Arab reporter,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about the attitude of the Palestinian people
mm-hmm.
regarding these issues of terrorist attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the surveys that now show that 70% of Palestinians support the suicide bombers. They call – oh, and could you turn down your radio perhaps?
Yeah, of course.
Thanks. That'll help. Sarah, that 70% of Palestinians support these terrorist suicide attacks. They don't call them murderers when they target just a few days ago – one of these suicide attackers, terrorists, shot and killed a 5-year-old girl in her bed.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a sick animal could do that? And what kind of a culture could endorse it? What's happened is the Quran, Muhammad is a false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And Allah is not a god. Allah is not a god. And Muhammad is his false prophet. And when hundreds of millions of people devote themselves to lies and deception, it undermines their society morally. They don't have a solid moral foundation for their society. So therefore, Islamic nations have this problem of a widespread support for terrorist activity. That's true. There are moderate Arab governments that are afraid to openly speak out against terrorism because they're afraid there'll be a revolution and they'll be thrown out of power.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Islamic world, you tell me if this is not true. their religious leaders support terrorism against Jews and Americans generally. True or false?
I don't think that's completely true. I asked
generally, Sarah. If you go to a mosque, well, let's say you go to a mosque in Saudi Arabia mm-hmm. or in the West Bank or the Gaza Strip this week mm-hmm. and you hear a sermon. What are the chances that that sermon is going to praise the martyrs?
I don't think we can say because we don't know because we're not there listening.
Well, I've actually hey Sarah,
yes.
I've only been to Israel three times, mm-hmm. but I read a lot, mm-hmm. and Arabic sermons given to their Muslim followers by clerics mm-hmm. are translated into English by reporters. Mm-hmm. And leading clerics mm-hmm. call for young people to march as an army of martyrs against the Jews mm-hmm. and to kill the Jews and kill the Americans. And this open hatred of Americans and of mm-hmm. Jews and a defense of targeting and killing innocent Jewish children, for example. Mm-hmm. When September 11th happened, Sarah, do you remember the response of the Palestinians in the streets?
That was not all of them.
Well, I know it wasn't all of them, but when MSNBC and Fox News had their TV cameras in the West Bank and the planes brought down the World Trade Center by the terrorists and old Palestinian women are screaming, ah, la, 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 they're celebrating and throwing candy to the kids and the gunmen are shooting in the air, there was a celebration in much of the Arab world, and Israel that day declared a national day of mourning. So you need to, God died, Jesus died for the whole world. And we need to do what we can to bring people, whether Jews or Arabs or Italians, to salvation. Mm-hmm. But you can't be ignorant and not recognize who your enemy is.
I realize that. And can I say three things?
Yeah.
One, I think people who are celebrating and dancing, I think that's horrible. Absolutely horrible. I can't believe it. But second of all, I'd like to mention that the cameras did not catch the Palestinians who were mourning. I got emails from Palestine sending their condolences, sending their regrets.
Well, sure.
Yeah. Incredibly mourning.
Sarah, of course. Sorry,
wait. And third of all, yeah. I'd like to ask why there is this open hatred towards Americans, towards Israel, etc. And also, I think that these suicide bombers are horrible. I think they're evil. I think it's incredibly wrong. They kill innocent children and everything. But also, Israelis do that as well.
No, they don't.
They're not pure.
Israel is not pure.
I think we need to acknowledge that.
Sarah, Israel's not pure. Israel is about as evil a nation as America is. Very evil.
Thank you. And I just.
Well, yeah, but Sarah, the difference is the difference is the Jews do not teach their children to grow up to target and kill Arab women and children.
But they teach them to hate as Palestinian parents do. And as Jesus taught, a man can kill with a glance now, not just the lance or sword.
Sarah.
Hate is equivalent. It's just big of a sin as murder.
Sarah, when the Japanese attacked us in Pearl Harbor, mm-hmm. it was good to arouse hatred and indignation to defeat the enemy. We'll be right back. All right, we're doing a live break again, and when we come back, we'd like to finish with Sarah in Indiana, Garrison, Indiana. Where did I get that from? Goshen, Indiana. And then we'll go to the Permian Basin in Texas, and getting calls each night from Texas, the great state of Texas, so that'll be fun. But in this live spot, I'd like to tell you guys about our audio Bible study tapes you can get, and it helps not only to support Bob and Yart Live and continue to grow this ministry, but people have told us for years now that that's the number one best way to benefit from this show, Bob and Yart Live, is because the things we say on the air are based on our understanding of God and His Word, the Bible. And, of course, you could study the Bible on your own. And absolutely, nobody needs one of our tapes to get saved, to love God. Not at all. You don't need it. But God has given the gifts of administration and the gifts of being a teacher, different gifts to members of the body of Christ. And so it makes sense to take advantage of teaching when it's available. And we've got this 4 tapes every month we mail out. And we start with an overview of the whole Bible, which is the place to start. If you've ever been in a doctrinal confusion or doctrinal debates, fighting about issues, disagreeing with other Christians over theology, but you don't really have a solid overview of the whole Bible, you should be ashamed of yourself. You should. Because you can't have a solid foundation on details when you lack it on the overview. So that's where our Bible studies begin, with an overview of the whole Bible, and then we dig into the details. So call us in order.
01.
All right, I'd like to go back to Sarah, and then Don in Texas, we want to get to you too. Sarah?
Yes.
This concept in the Bible, you know, in the Bible, God is a God of war.
And also God of love.
Yeah, also, he's both. Mm-hmm. And in the New Testament, God says that governments have the authority from God mm-hmm. to bring vengeance and wrath and terror against evildoers, and to execute them with the sword. Mm-hmm. That's all in the book of Romans in the New Testament.
Okay.
And God kills more people in the story of the New Testament than he does in the Old Testament, because the book of Revelation is in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And God is a God of wrath and vengeance,
mm-hmm.
and he delegates vengeance to governing authorities.
What about Hitler? He was a governing authority.
Right, and so it was right for us to attack Adolf Hitler and his army and Japan and the emperor in Japan, and to destroy their armies, to destroy their infrastructure, and to bring justice back to their foreign policy. That was right for us, and it was good for us to view the Nazis as the enemy and the Japanese as the enemy, because they were our enemy.
I think the key part in Revelation is that God is doing the judging. God is doing the killing. God is the one.
Well, not in the book of Romans.
He was not. Well, and that is at the end of his time.
And actually,
we as humans have flaws.
Sarah,
we cannot take God's authority and say this person should die over this person.
Sarah, how about in the book of Revelation, God delegated authority to men on earth to kill the wicked. I don't know if you remember that part of the book of Revelation.
I do.
But also, so that sort of undermines the point you just made, right? Because God delegates authority to governing officials to kill the wicked. And
it
if you don't...
It's a very tall thing.
It's a what?
Claim. It's a very tall thing. It's a very...
It's a very
scary thing to be able to claim that you know
well
exactly what is
well,
evil and what God would
well,
want.
If you're determined to disobey God, right? If you say, I don't care what God says about executing the wicked, I'm not going to obey him because I'm afraid. Well, don't do evil that you hope good might come of it. When God commands the governing authorities to execute the wicked, Sarah, you're not being a better Christian by telling them they should disobey God.
I'm not saying that at all.
Well, when
I'm just saying.
In the book of Romans, God says that the government should bring vengeance, wrath, and terror and execute with weapons, execute the wicked. Now, if you don't do that, if you have lovey-dovey Christian leaders in charge of a government, like in World War II, the Japanese army, how aggressive it was, it kidnapped tens of thousands of Korean women and forced them into prostitution to service the men in the Japanese army.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's evil and wicked.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, similar to what Adolf Hitler, the kind of
right.
murderous things he did.
Right.
And so righteous men, at times like that, they don't say we need to love Adolf Hitler and love the Japanese army. They say we need to kill Adolf Hitler and kill the members of the Japanese army. We need to kill the Nazis so that we can restore justice and stop them from raping and murdering the innocent. That's what righteous, godly people do.
Oh, I believe that. And I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we need to remember, in terms of Palestinians and Israelis, that there are two sides of every story.
Yeah, of
Both
course.
Both are wrong in many parts. And but, also,
But Sarah, if they're both completely evil, then we shouldn't take either side. But the Palestinians are wrong in the disputes over land.
Oh, that's a whole other debate entirely.
Well, no, they're wrong, and here's why. Because Israel has been repeatedly attacked by its Arab nations. You know, they've had wars.
Israel has been repeatedly attacked by its Arab nations because Israel has repeatedly encroached upon
No, that's
Arab
that's
land.
Not true. That
it
wasn't true.
Very true.
That
Look
wasn't true in 1948 and 1967. Israel
right.
did not take land from Jordan or Syria or Lebanon or Egypt until after the third time those nations attacked Israel. So after the third time, Israel had to defend itself, and they said, you know what? You're not going to attack us from the Golan Heights anymore like you've done for 30 years every day, because now we're going to take the Golan Heights. And Egypt's not going to use Gaza to attack us from the south, from the Negev, because we're going to take Gaza, and Jordan is not going to use the West Bank to attack us, because we're going to take the West Bank. They took those lands in a defensive maneuver after aggressive Arab armies attacked.
But do you know why those wars were started? They were started mainly over water. Water is the most precious resource in the Middle East.
That's not true.
Yes, it is most precious.
I know water
Israel
is precious, but that's
water.
Not why those
Israel
wars...
Israel was starving the Palestinians...
That,
their crops, their
okay,
land.
The day.
We're going to fight back as
all right,
well.
Hey Sarah, the day. When was the first time the Arab nations attacked Israel, modern state of Israel?
The modern state of Israel.
Yeah, when was the first?
1947.
Well, they became a nation May 14th, 1948.
48.
And the very day they were established, five Arab countries invaded with their armies. And Israel, up to that day, Israel wasn't allowed to own a gun. A Jew wasn't allowed to own a gun. And five Arab armies attacked Israel that day with the goal of finishing what Adolf Hitler had just failed to do. And what happened was Israel defeated the Arab world, and I thank God it did. Because Israel's an evil nation. America is an evil nation, yes. But we are built on some foundation of morality and justice that's closer to God's plan than the despicable Islamic teachings of the Quran.
Yes. Now the Israelis, in their retaliation, in their just war, in their just fight, they are treating Palestinians like South Africans treated black South Africans.
Okay.
They are giving them curfews. They are not letting them leave their home. They're not allowing medical supplies to come into the camps. There are people dying, all innocent civilians, innocent.
All right, yeah, let's talk about that. For example, the Israelis stop the ambulances.
Yes.
The Red Crescent ambulances can't get through, and people die in the ambulances because the Jewish soldiers don't allow the ambulance to get through the checkpoint.
That's right.
Do you know that the International Red Cross has written a public statement condemning the Palestinian Authority? Did you know this? Because the Palestinian Authority is using Red Cross and Red Crescent ambulances to bring terrorists and bombs and guns across checkpoints for terrorist attacks.
So at the same time,
When you take an organization that's supposed to be for medical and humanitarian aid, and you violate the international historical reputation of that organization, then from there on out, no government could trust an ambulance. You can't trust the Red Cross. That's why the Red Cross has condemned the Palestinians. So the Jews are right in stopping every Palestinian ambulance.
That's not true.
What's not
true?
They
are killing people that way.
They're
killing innocent
Sarah,
people. Not
okay,
people
Sarah.
These Palestinians who do not support terrorists, who do not
Let me ask you a question, Sarah.
Gaza,
I want to ask you a couple questions.
Yes.
Do you think I just made up that about the International Red Cross?
No, I definitely don't.
Okay, I didn't make it up, and I'm glad you don't think I'm lying. So do you think the International Red Cross has accused the Palestinians of this with no evidence?
Oh, no, I don't.
No,
that does not justify.
So it seems to me that you believe that the Palestinians are using ambulances to transport terrorists, which they are. They are doing that. That's a matter of fact today.
That's fine, but still, look at all these other
areas.
They're still killing people. They're still putting curfews on them. They're not allowing them to move freely.
It's because their government.
It's like South Africa under apartheid.
When the government of Japan started to rape Korean women and kill Hawaiians in our country, then the Japanese people suffered because of the terrorist mentality of their government. And the Japanese people who died, it was the fault of the Japanese, not the fault of the American bombers. It was the fault of the Japanese. And the Germans who died, it was the fault of Hitler and the Nazis. It wasn't the fault of the French underground or the fault of the English or the Americans. It was the Germans' fault. And when the Palestinians use an ambulance, a Red Crescent ambulance, to transport terrorists to kill women and children, then it becomes the Palestinians' fault Palestinians are dying as a result of that.
I believe that.
It's the Palestinians' fault. It's not the Jews' fault.
All the other evil acts that Israel doing that are unfounded, that are unprecedented.
Why?
That are just purely evil and wrong.
Why?
Why?
No, why? What are you... I'm giving you specific examples of
the
why
curfews.
Israel is right in the debate.
The curfews that Israelis put on normal Palestinians.
Why do they do that?
Going to work, which prevents them from making a living, which prevents them from feeding their family, which leads to starvation, malnourishment, and death.
All right, I've been in Israel twice since the current intifada started.
Okay.
Did they? I'm sorry, not twice. My second trip was before it started. Once. Did Israel impose these curfews before the Palestinian suicide bombers started killing men, women, and children? Did they impose the curfews before?
Did the suicide bombers start killing people before Israel was harassing the Arab land?
What you
before
just said, Sarah,
on their own
Sarah,
no
you, Sarah, what you just said is despicable. You
what?
Just defended the terrorist attacks.
No,
Sarah,
no.
You're supposed to be a Christian, Sarah. You just defended the terrorist attacks of people killing children.
I did not.
Sarah, shut up. Listen to me. A 5-year-old girl was shot to death in her bed. And you said, did that start before the Jews were in the Palestinian lands? You never utter one word of defense of terrorism, Sarah.
I understand why it is not okay that they do that at all. But there has to be a reason.
Don't say that! Be quiet.
No.
Be quiet, Sarah. Listen to me. When people murder children, when people rape children, Sarah, you don't say there has to be a reason. You don't give a justification of any type for killing children.
Why is Israel doing it?
Israel does not target children. Israel doesn't celebrate when somebody goes in and blows a 5-year-old's head off in her bed.
They do. I'm sorry, but
they do. They don't. You're wrong. Israel arrests their citizens who take an attack on a Palestinian, and they punish them and they condemn them severely. They don't teach their children to go and kill Palestinian children.
I've seen it.
Sarah,
your
Christianity is shallow, and you're mocking God by justifying terrorists.
That's not true.
You justified terrorists, and you mock God in doing so. Goodbye, Sarah.
I'm not terrorism.
That infuriates me. We Christians, we're not just battling the pagan world. We're battling the Christians. The Christians who don't know their own God well enough to oppose the intentional slaughter of children without exception, without equivocation. Sarah, you made me sick. Sick to my stomach. To hear a justification out of your mouth, supposedly a Christian. You may be a Christian, but you bring shame to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, that message is, if you have a valid political gripe, then you could send terrorists to murder women and children. That doesn't come from the Bible, Sarah. Where'd you get that from? This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Do right.